Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, Angela Alberti.
Okay, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, Ivy Podcast listeners, wherever you are tuning in from and whatever time it is on your side of the globe, we want to thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. I am your host, Angela Alberti, very excited to sit down and speak with Sean Cogan. He is the co-founder and managing partner at Recruiting in Motion. It's a Canadian and American recruiting company. And, you know, with the specialization around human capital, and really that's where my passion lies. I'm so excited to have the chance to sit down and speak with you today, Sean. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hey, good morning, Angela. It is morning here. A little bit about myself. First of all, I'm Canadian, born and raised in Montreal, living in Toronto now. My background, I actually was pursuing a background in accounting, believe it or not. Way back when I went to school for accounting and have a master's in accounting. Within a couple of years after graduating, I actually opened a travel agency, a travel and marketing company that lasted a few years. That sort of, spurred on my entrepreneurial juices. But then I went back into accounting. So for the next kind of portion of my career early on in my 20s, I was an accountant, senior analyst, working with some amazing people. And then I just fell into recruiting. Back in 1998, I met an individual who worked for a very large publicly traded recruiting agency. And I was just there to see if, you know, I could move on to the next step in my accounting career. And he introduced me to the world of recruiting. So before I left there, he more or less offered me a job in recruiting. And I thought, that's crazy. Who would work in this industry? And I had no idea what it was back in 98. You know, what is recruiting? But I learned pretty quickly. So I accepted that job. Really took a bit of a right turn, bit of a chance in my life, in my career, and stayed with that company for 12 years, close to 12 years. And, moved up from manager to director. And then in 2010, early 2010, January, myself and a co-founder, Paul Venditelli, started Recruiting in Motion for all the right reasons. And that was 12 years ago, and I haven't looked back since.
What an interesting story. I always love asking that question because I feel like recruiting is that industry that everyone kind of stumbles in. Like, you know, you had the intention to be the accountant and then maybe had that spark lie with the entrepreneurial spirit when you started the marketing agency / what was it? The
travel.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. Absolutely. And then recruiting found you in the late 90s. Now, what was that moment that, you know, you and your partner had the idea to start Recruiting in Motion, and what was the inspiration behind it?
That's a great question. I've always been entrepreneurial in nature, and hence the venture into travel and travel agency. My dad was sort of the serial entrepreneur. He always, he had a whole bunch of different companies. And so after really getting to know the recruiting industry through working for this large agency, there's a few things going on. Number one, this was a great company, but I just felt, you know, we could offer something a little more customer centric, a little more client centric. I wanted to do things a bit differently. Both my partner and I were getting frustrated with the sort of the top-down management. But at the same time, we had this unique idea to introduce a video piece to the candidate presentation when presenting candidates to clients. So it was a combination of things. It wasn't just one sort of little catalyst. It was, we were just coming out of our last recession, 2008, 2009, 2010. There was a bit of a recession going on there, if you remember. And our team was doing really well. But at the same time, we thought this is a good time to introduce something new to the market. Didn't know if it would catch on. Didn't know if we're taking the craziest risk of our life. But maybe a little younger than I am now, and thought this is a good time to take a risk. And it really paid off. So just a number of factors kind of pushed us and pulled this out. It was an interesting time.
Yeah. And what I loved in discussing during our pre-session is really the format in which you guys have developed the agency setup, or, you know, if we look at recruiting and staffing, it's been somewhat traditional in the brick and mortar setup with the full desk recruiter potentially, or, you know, the account manager and then the recruiter handling the talent. You guys are very different in that. So I know that this sparked from what was the submission of the candidate and applying that digital asset where they can take a look at the video and take a look at the candidate and maybe personalizing it a bit more. But you guys are also interesting in the actual structural operations of recruiting in motion. Can you go into that a little bit more?
Sure. Like at the time, 2010, technology was evolving and changing, and we're just on the cusp of the whole video revolution when it comes to social media and that. And so we thought this was a great time to expand on it and introduce it into a relatively traditional industry, especially at the time. Like recruiting, in my opinion, hadn't changed for 50 years. We were still presenting candidates the same way that we had done in the 60s and 70s. And that's, you know, maybe the format was different. Maybe we were now emailing resumes, but it was still a resume. It was a two-dimensional resume that clients were receiving and making decisions on. And then sometimes they were disappointed when they would meet people in let's call it real life in an interview setting. The whole video side of things changed that. Now an employer through us would have the ability to see and hear the candidates before meeting them. Mm-hmm. And that would sidestep the whole interview. We wanted them to meet our candidates, but now they knew who they were going to be meeting. So it really sped up the entire hiring process. So when we introduced that, it just took off, probably a lot bigger than we thought. And within about 2-3 years, we were opening our second office. And then After that, we were attracting a lot of attention through some of our old colleagues and old peers who saw what we were doing. And they thought, geez, you know, maybe I could get in on that. And that's when we started franchising. So most recruiting agencies don't franchise. We actually ended up franchising this concept because it was so unique. And within a few years after that, we had 8 offices open here in Canada. And then, you know, fast forward to a couple of years ago, as we know, there's been this pandemic going around. We entered the US market just before the pandemic started. And it was with this unique idea. You know, franchising was cool in Canada, and we had really got quite a name for ourselves. But at the same time, we didn't know if the U.S. market was really ready for that. And we had a slightly different vision. And it was driven a bit because of the pandemic. We saw that, a lot of employees, in the recruiting industry were sort of moving from their traditional office setting into more of a home-based office. And so we took advantage of the time and the, let's call it the transition. And we set up this new idea, which was having individuals, independent recruiting professionals, work with us from their home offices and move away from the traditional brick and mortar locations that we've always had. We, you know, even though we love video and we love the technology behind recruiting, we thought let's evolve just one more time. Let's just evolve a little bit and see if we could do this from our homes. And once again, it was a bit of a risk, but it's really paid off. We have independent directors in 17 states right now, all working out of home offices, but within a really strong team-based environment, working with one another, splitting deals, and really enjoying the freedom and the independence that comes along with working under the Recruiting in Motion umbrella as independent directors in the US.
I can't even begin to tell you how fascinated I am by this concept for a couple of reasons. Number one, you guys had developed something in terms of the submission of the candidate that was, you know, it's cool and new. And it was also preparatory to what was going to be impending with the pandemic. I think there was a lot of companies and agencies that were shuffling around trying to figure out what the heck do we do to get this person in on the interview. And you guys were probably like 8 years ahead of the game. So that's one thing. The second thing is the structure in which you have these independent directors. It's also capitalizing on this trend that we know and we see happening with Gig E and the freelancer revolution, but giving them this sense of a security blanket with the Recruiting in Motion name to be able to network with one another. So I'm fascinated by that because I see the gig economy revolution somewhat transcending itself into this concept. And I think that's super cool, to be honest. Now, one of the things that I wanted to ask you about, because I know a lot of agencies found themselves in this position, which you guys, as I mentioned, were already somewhat prepared, but operationally speaking, how did you guys manage and oversee the staff needed on a remote basis, especially during the onset of the pandemic? What are some best practices that you would recommend?
Yeah, that's a great question. The ability for us to move from a brick and mortar traditional office setting in Canada to fully remote for an indefinite period of time was a bit of a challenge. On the one hand, we had this video presentation system, which was sort of prophetic to us. It's like, holy cow, we've been doing this for the last 10 years, and mm-hmm. now people are sort of catching up. So right. And that was really cool. But our clients loved it before. They still loved it. However, a lot of the times we were still meeting our candidates in office. They would come in office into our interview rooms and we would actually video them there. We also had the ability to do it remote. So it was a bit of an easy transition for us to go fully remote with the candidate interviewing and the mm-hmm. candidate presentation. So that was cool. But moving our teams from being in office within a bullpen environment, within a real strong, cultural, growth-based environment, learning from one another to moving remote, that was a bit of a challenge. And I'm sure most of the other agencies in our industry felt the same thing. But we did have that step up because we had always offered, the opportunity, the option to somewhat work remotely if they wanted to. We just had to really amp it up. And so working with our franchise partners here in Canada, we just switched, we pivoted. We turned our office-based training into a remote-based training. We always loved video technology. All of our meetings went from in-person to, we'll say Zoom. We had a different platform, but we could call it Zoom for now. Mm-hmm. And our employees were, they were a bit concerned, right? Okay, what's going to be happening? We pretty much assured them that their jobs were safe as long as they could continue working with us in a remote capacity. And for the most part, we insulated almost all of them with regards to layoffs and that. So it was a tough transition. I'm not going to say it was easy, but it was doable. We just had mm-hmm. to think forward and keep our, ears and eyes on what was happening around us on the market and what other companies were doing. And, we adapted.
That's awesome. And I think conceptually speaking, one of the things that I admire most about this model is that it's agile. It really is. It's agile. It allows you guys to develop and adapt quickly, which we know how vastly changing the talent delivery model is around us. There's never been an easier time for a candidate to go online and find a plethora of opportunities around them. They have Upwork, they have, whatever's happening through the latest Uber of the world or in their region of the neck of the woods. How do you guys kind of set yourself apart from all the noise that's around them in the ever evolving talent delivery model that's available to them now?
So that's a really unique question because we're kind of stuck in the middle, right?
Right.
So we've got two challenges. We've got challenges of our own. We're growing and we're always looking to attract mm-hmm. recruiting professionals, whether they be business development or recruitment or
which in this market, right? Is
right. Exactly. So, right. So that in itself is a challenge, but at the same time, we're there for our clients and we have to consult with them and understand their needs and they've got their own hiring challenges. So many times our clients will phone our offices and say, oh, you really need to help us. And we'll say, yeah, we're going through the same struggles. And they'll say, well, you're in recruiting. How can you be going through those struggles? Well, it's happening everywhere. The recruiting industry has faced massive turnover in the last couple of years, just like almost every other industry out there, some more and some less. I think the idea here is to adapt to the changing times. So what we've done, of course, we've given our staff a lot of flexibility. So working remotely, some of our offices are starting to reopen, but they probably will not reopen fully. It'll probably be a 1-2-3 day a week type of thing. And so that'll give our employees who need the flexibility and or who want it, the flexibility to continue working that way. On the other hand, some are going to stay remote. In the US, how the model works there is they're pretty much independent, and they will receive the vast majority of the big portion of the sales. So whatever revenue they're generating, they're keeping the most of it. So it's going to be hard for them to go back to a traditional office setting where they're in production, so to speak, and probably only taking home 30, 40, 50% of what they typically would bring in for the company. Whereas with us, it's closer to 100%. So it's going to be really hard for them to transition back. So we've set up a model that makes it really attractive to continue to grow. That's for us. For our clients, I think a lot of clients are moving towards, things like Upwork. They might be outsourcing some positions moving forward. They may have fully removed some positions so they could outsource. But instead of using, an organization like Upwork, which is great, they'll come to a recruiting agency and focus maybe more on contracts. So a lot of the permanent jobs might have been eliminated because of the uncertainty. So they'll stay with contract for a while, stay with temp or contract. We do both. And I think that's, you're going to see companies who in the past would never have dreamt of bringing on a contractor. Now they're going to because of the uncertainty that this market has brought in the last few years anyways.
Yeah. There's an uncertainty, and there's also this kind of this growing trend towards it, right? I think we see what millennials and Gen Zs are going to be doing. And in some cases they have that be your own boss mentality, which might be fantastic for what you guys have happening on the US side. But also we see that kind of transcend itself into the candidate driven market that may find that favorability around that very flexible working environment. There's some studies that indicate that the worker actually prefers the flexibility over things like health insurance, believe it or not, with these younger generations. So one of the studies that I read the other day is like within 5 years, the average age of the worker is going to be 37.
Wow.
Which is super interesting, I think, but all lending to this flexible manner. So, very interesting to see what you guys are doing to attract the talent internally, but also externally, and understanding that they are going to evolve on the client side as well. One of the things that I think I just want to generally pick your brain on is what is that piece of advice that you would give the entrepreneur? And maybe this is something that selfishly I'm asking because I'm also co-founder of MyBasePay on the side, but in those first 2 years, what is that mindset? Or if you could go back and ask, tell Sean some advice, 12 years ago, what would it be to prepare for those first 2 years?
That's really funny. As you said that, an image comes to my head of me and my partner, Paul. We had just resigned from this job, really secure job. We were the top performers. And we were married with kids and young kids, and we had taken this crazy risk, and we sat in this small, tiny little shared office location. And we looked at each other and we said, what the heck did we just do? This is crazy.
Right.
We didn't have a database. we had a good idea. We hadn't even hired our programmers to set up the video thing. It was all just a concept and idea. And we sort of kind of talked it through. And looking back at those first 2 years, I think resilience, you need to have the confidence and the resilience to just see it through. There are going to be bad times. There's going to be times you're going to look at each other or look at yourself in the mirror and say, what the heck did I just do? This is crazy. I should be getting a job somewhere. But then you just have to continue thinking of the future. I'm going to digress a bit here. We follow a business model called Traction. It's an entrepreneurial operating system. I'm not here to promote the book. It's just something that we follow. And it really talks about setting goals for yourself and then putting those goals into a manageable format and just continually trying to reach those goals. And you can change those goals. Those goals are your goals, but you need those goals. So I'd say for anybody who's just starting out, put in some goals, make sure they're reachable and attainable, but make sure they're not too low that you could do them in your sleep. You want to work hard, but make sure those goals are there and make sure you know what they are. They should be written down. And they don't have to be just financial goals. They could be growth related goals, or they could be technology related goals, whatever it is. Make sure you know where you want to be in 90 days, in 6 months, in a year, and in 2 years. And know that you may not hit it and you may have to change, or you may exceed those goals and you may have to blow them out of the water. You may have to really bump up those goals because you were underestimating. But at the end of the day, you know, a lot of resilience. Hopefully you've got a good family to support you. Hopefully, you need good people around you, and you can't listen to the naysayers. There's going to be a lot of people. When we started, a lot of people say, "You guys are crazy. What are you doing? You know, you're doing well in your last job. Why did you start a business that really is kind of a little different? You know, you're introducing a whole new technology. There's no need to do that. Why fix it if it's not broken?" Well, you know, sometimes you want to fix something that's not broken because you want to make it better.
That's right.
And that's what we did. So my best advice, you know, get support from family and friends, hang out with the people who believe in you, and don't listen to the people who don't believe in you, and you know, shut out the naysayers and make sure your plans are in place so that, you know, when you get there, you could say, yeah, I did that. And if not, you could change them around.
The thrill of being able to cross off that goal.
Is
something powerful. That is some fantastic advice. And I really hope that our listeners have a great takeaway from that, because I know I did personally. A couple of things that I think I want to introduce to our team and listening to that bit of advice. So thank you so much for that. Let's talk in general terms now. What are some trends, you know, some things that you think are exciting to the staffing and recruiting industry? Maybe that's on the technology side. Or maybe that's just in general terms. And then maybe are there any trends that you see that keep you up at night, you know, as a member of the staffing and recruiting industry? Anything that you can share in terms of trending things happening?
But when you say keep me up, that could be positive or negative, but I'll get to that in a second.
Usually it's on the negative side, right?
I mean, right. Like I lose sleep because
right.
of it. No, there's a lot of, you know, recruiting is not the sexiest industry. Let's face it. It's one of these industries that have been around a while. It's in the background. Some people don't like recruiters. I don't know why. There's some negativity around the whole recruitment industry. Yeah. I don't typically feel it, but I know it's there. Right. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of exciting things. We're in the service-based business, and because of that, technology can really, really help. So one of the things that we're doing and that I find exciting is AI. It's artificial intelligence, right? We're dealing with so much data on a daily basis. You know, recruiters receive, our company anyways, receives thousands and thousands of candidates a week approaching us. Now, and we can't help them all. We wish we could, right? Everybody would be happy if we could help them all. We can't help them all, but we do have an amazing database, an amazing way to capture this information. And then a lot of times the candidates and the resumes really just sit in our database and really go unlooked at because they may not be, as we would call, you know, closest to the money today. This isn't somebody we can help today. So whether we reach out to them and say, like, we'll always send an email and say if we can help them or not. And if we can't, no problem. We'll keep your resume on file. Well, now we've got hundreds of thousands, if not more, of these folks that might be looking around for jobs that we can help today, but no one's looked at them in the last month, 6 months, year, 10 years. AI can help that. AI can, you know, different types of artificial intelligence that are being developed today can go into applicant tracking systems or CRMs and really review and waken up those dormant candidates and maybe reapproach them with positions that we're working on today. And maybe they found a job 2 years ago after they applied to us, but maybe they're looking for another one today. It's about keeping in touch with individuals on a mass scale. The pros and cons, you never want to sound like you're, you know, being sending information from a robot, right?
That's right.
Nobody wants to hear from a robot, or at least not yet. Maybe in the future, but for me today, it's still a real personal relationship building business. So there is, there's that fine line between understanding that you've got a lot of candidates that might need your help today that you haven't spoken to in a while, and getting your friendly neighborhood robot to reach out to. But as AI is evolving, there's a lot of really cool ways to waken up those dormant candidates. So I find that super exciting in my industry. The other thing is the video. Like, we've been doing it for 10 years, but it has evolved recently, mm-hmm. you know, with all of our competitors realizing that they have to kind of jump on the bandwagon. There's a lot of really cool things in the video space, not just video interviewing, but video introductions and two-way video communication between not us and not just us and our candidates, but us and our clients, three-way communication with us being involved with our clients. So there's a lot of interesting new video technology that we're actually taking advantage of right now. Remote working, right?
Yeah.
You know, that's so far away from technology, but it is, I would call it an innovation where, you know, so many people have been, you know, sort of tapped on the shoulder and said, hey, you may not have to go into the office. You might be able to do that job from home or from a cottage or from, you know, your boat out on the Bahamas.
Right.
Don't have to, you know, go to the office just because you've always gone to the office. And that's really exciting. I think that opens up a lot of opportunities internally. Now, if I don't need my recruiters to come into the office every day, if I've kind of come to that conclusion, I could hire recruiters. I could hire the best recruiters regardless of their location. It's not, well, it takes me 30 minutes to get to your office, so I can't work there. No, it could take you 6 hours to get to the office. I don't need you to come to the office. I want you to be involved and engaged and build relationships, and we could do remote training. And I think that's really exciting. That's you know, what's happening now. That's what we're seeing, the big shift.
You know, it's funny because what you mentioned on the AI and also the remote work, there's always that delicate balance between the two. You don't want to sound like a bot, but you want to be able to also, you know, take on the talent that's in Idaho and also maintain, you know, a sense of camaraderie amongst your staff in this digital world. It's interesting that both of those avenues, an exciting trend, but also a delicate balance in maintaining the human element to what we do. So I love that. You know, one of the things that I was curious to ask you on is when it comes to these independent directors, especially on the stateside market that you guys are growing, what do you think is that those characteristics that you look for whenever you are, you know, because there's probably going to be many different recruiters or, you know, account managers that are listening to this. What is that characteristical, you know, attribute that is strengthened behind somebody that could consider that type of role with you guys?
That's a great question, because it's not, I like the way you asked that. It's not about, you know, what type of background are you looking for? Because a lot of individuals might think, well, I've been in recruiting for a while. I can do that.
Yeah. It's not a check the box sort of thing, right?
Yeah, it's not at all. So years and years ago, after we started the company, one of the reasons why we left the other organization had a lot to do with what we felt were misaligned or unaligned core values. My core values and my partner's core values weren't really any longer aligned with the old company. And that's cool. They have different core values than us, and they're big multinational, you know, publicly traded companies. So they don't have to have our core values. We kind of have to have theirs, and we didn't. But with Recruiting Motion, our core values are much more important to us. So when we make hiring decisions, it's a lot of times based on these core values. Some of them are better together. Another one is we find humor and happiness every day. You know, you have to enjoy what you're doing. Another one is always do the right thing. And so when we're interviewing candidates potentially to be an independent director, they do have to have that core background. They have to have experience as an agency professional, whether it be business development or recruitment or 360. They have to have that experience. We like a minimum of, let's say, 3 to 4 years. But at the same time, if they don't meet our core values, they can't be part of the team, because it's really, you know, I've learned ever since I started in this business, one of the first things I learned, it's not about making a sale. It's not about this is a candidate and this is an employer. It's about people and building relationships. It's about understanding that you have a one-to-one connection with whoever you're dealing with, and they're a human being. So it doesn't matter if you classify them as a candidate or an employee or a hiring manager or an employer, you know, those are just sort of monikers we put on people. It's really the relationship you're building. So that's when we're looking at hiring, they're not our employees, they're independent right. directors. So when we're looking on establishing relationships with them and allowing them to use our name, to use our brand, it's really more about who they are as well as what they've done. But I'd say the who they are is more important. So align if they're actually aligned with our core values, that'll push us to bring them on board ASAP. If they're not, they can't come on board.
So it's the alignment with the core values, but I also imagine that there has to be this dash of an entrepreneurial spirit or that self-accountability through utilizing your platform, knowing that, you know, hey, this is on me now. This is me establishing this book of business or with these candidates that I know within my own realm of experiences.
It's not for everyone, Angela. One of the hurdles that an individual has to jump over when they're considering making a move like that is, am I financially secure enough for the next 3 to 4 months? They don't have to, you know, be ready to retire. And, they don't have to have $1 million in the bank. They just have to be financially secure enough for the next 3 or 4 months. Because if they're not, they're going to be too focused on making that placement. And it's not about making the placement. It's about building relationships and long-term. Ooh. They will make the placements. Right. It may not happen in the first month or two, though. So at the end of the day, they have to be financially secure. So that's one of the questions we'll always ask is, you know, are you financially secure enough to do this without receiving a salary or benefits for the next 3 to 4 months? Mm-hmm. Because if they're not, it's probably not the right time. Mm-hmm. I'd say, you know, work somewhere else for a bit. Ensure you have a bit of a nest egg to be able to take this risk, mm-hmm. and then come on board. Because the folks who come on board and they don't have just a bit of a buffer, they're going to be too stressed. This is a stressful enough industry. You don't need to be stressed about, can I pay the rent or can right. I feed my kids? I'd feel too guilty to bring somebody on board if I thought that was their concern. So for those folks who have a bit of a buffer, doesn't have to be, their 401k, they don't have to break into that. As long as they could, be comfortable for the next 3 or 4 months, I think that would help.
That's awesome. So one of the things that I I've become enthralled in just listening to the way that you guys have built this model, the agility behind it, the way that y'all have been able to transcend and just quickly develop into different model types, franchises, independent directors, the submission of the candidates and what you guys are doing, you know, to enhance this through AI. One of the questions, and also all of this aligning to your core beliefs and values. You guys have done a really fantastic job on brand reputation and brand management. Any best practices that you would recommend when it comes to aligning your brand for, you know, maybe somebody out there that's listening to the show?
Yeah, it's for us, I'm going to boil it down to communications and building relationships. I'll maybe add a bit of color around that, but I think it all starts there. You need the core. You need your core values. You want to build relationships for the right reasons. You want to try to listen more than you speak. You always want to be able to consult with both candidates and clients. But when it comes to brand management, that's super important because these days it's all about the reviews, right?
Yeah.
I was listening to a podcast the other day and they were saying it's so much more important for companies to not focus as much time on their marketing spend and focus more time on the reviews and listening to people when they're actually, giving you reviews and responding to those reviews, because that's what's driving behavior these days. So if you're a candidate or potentially an employer and you're looking to use a recruiting agency, yes, you may not care. You might just say, hey, they've got the job I want today. I am going to apply. On the other hand, you might say, wow, there's so many agencies out there. Let's take a look at what other people say. You know, I'm sure, Angela, before you go on a trip, if you're going to stay at an Airbnb, you're looking at the reviews. If you're going to stay at a hotel, you're looking at the star ratings. You're looking at what your peers and other people like you want the experience that they had. And so that's super important. I would say, you know, if I'd have to give any advice, I'm not saying I'm in a position to give advice here, but if you're a small or growing or mid-sized company, focus on what you're hearing and then hopefully try to improve that. And then your marketing spend could come later. Mm-hmm. There's a couple other things. I would say, try to have your employees be more socially aware and increase their social media engagement as well, because hearing from a company, you know, that's okay. You know, it's good. You want a response to reviews, but when your brand ambassadors are your employees and the folks that you're, you know, aligned with, when they're talking good about you and they're talking to the actual candidates and employers like at that level, that's really going to help your brand reputation. You know, the your brand ambassador, you have to be aligned with everything you do, and then they're going to sing your praises because they're going to enjoy working with you. So it kind of all starts once again with the employees and building communication and relationship management internally as well as externally. And then, you know, they're going to become your brand ambassadors, and hopefully that will help further your brand management, your brands, right? Your brand recognition and that out there.
I love that, because I think that it hits on two areas that, you know, are very pivotal to this time in this world of marketing. And that is this culture that we live in that is very experience driven, that they want to be able to review, to rate as much as possible, but it's also lending itself to the value and I guess the way that the personal brand has really garnered itself and increased lately. You know, I think if we look back on what that answer would have been maybe 5 years ago, it's like, oh, you know, enhancing your SEO approach and trying to build a PPC campaign or a LinkedIn campaign. Now it's really, it's evolving into these two different areas that we know is trending and growing. So thank you for that. That's some fantastic advice. As we are wrapping up today's podcast, which kind of makes me sad in a way, because I feel like I could sit here and talk to you and ask you all kinds of things. I'm just going to finalize this with two different questions. The first one is somewhat philosophical, I guess you could say. We hear this phrase a lot, the future of work, the future of work. What does the future of work mean to you?
Wow, that's an interesting one. The future of work. Well, I think we're sort of, you know, there's a, we just did our kickoff. So every year we do a kickoff. Now it's unfortunately remote. It used to be, so now we call it our virtual kickoff. Hopefully next year it'll be back in person. And the last year we actually had a slide that said the future of work. This year it was funny. It was with the Back to the Future logo. Back to the Future, you know, that movie. And so this year we just had our kickoff last week, and the slide changed to the future is now, because I really think we're sort of in the future.
Right.
Of course, we're a year ahead from our last year's kickoff, but the future is now. And so what we're seeing, I don't think we'll change back. You know, a lot of our employees are coming to us and saying, you know, when are we going to get back to normal? Well, you know, I think this is sort of the new normal. I think some companies, traditional companies, you know, the service-based industries, sort of like maybe the hospitality, food service, construction, they'll always be evolving a bit, but you're going to have that person serving you behind the counter for the most part. Hopefully it won't be a robot. People are building buildings. There's traditional industries, but recruiting, I do think, is evolving, and I do think it is remote. I think the future is not just, the world is getting smaller. You can now work with folks anywhere in the world. You know, there's a lot of the RPOs in our industry that are overseas, and that's cool. I respect them for everything they do, and they could really help out the bigger companies on large scale projects. But where I'm sitting, sort of a small, mid-sized recruiting agencies, I think we have to accept the fact that some of our workers will be staying remote, and that's a good thing. We have to embrace that. If we could get them in the office 1 or 2 days a week, that's amazing. You know, that'll build the company culture and it'll build camaraderie. But I think retention is going to stay stronger if you give individuals the ability to work from wherever they're comfortable working, as long as they can do it and it's not going to hurt the employee and the employer experience. I think our candidates are driving the market. Our candidates, you know, through the great resignation that's been happening for the last year, they're showing us what they want. They're telling us, no, I didn't like working for that employer because maybe I was unaligned with their core values, or maybe I didn't like the fact that they were laying off all of my friends. And so now I'm getting concerned. So I'm going to leave. I'm going to be proactive and leave. You know, I think they're really the ones that are shaping the market, which is usually what happens, right? It starts from the ground level up, and right. We just have to adapt to it. So yeah, the future work is, I think, remote or hybrid, could be hybrid depending on your industry. And it's really listening. It's, you know, the gig economy is showing us that employees are the ones that are making the decisions. And all we have to do is listen. If we're listening carefully enough, we'll be able to adapt our businesses to that. So we've always, in Recruiting Motion, we've always gotten our best ideas on sort of the next thing we're doing from the bottom up. And even this whole independent director thing that we started a couple of years ago, that's really taken off. That really just evolved from ideas when we're speaking to a couple, three or four people that we knew in the U.S. that thought, you know, hey, why don't we do this and change this around? And then we just took it and ran with it. So, yeah, that was a long-winded answer to a short question.
Well, and it's very true, because I feel like whenever you said how you guys had that PowerPoint visualization, I swear I had the same thing. It's now. I mean, and maybe the pandemic has pressed fast forward on this a little bit quicker than we all anticipated. But you are so spot on with that sentiment. I think we are evolving and it's happening now. So very cool thing. As we wrap up, one last question. What is your content diet? You mentioned a book earlier, and I want you to give it a shout out because I'm going to be scribbling the name here on the back end. But let me know, what are you absorbing? What bits of information help you stay in the know, whether that's in the industry or in a particular niche or just in general?
I'll give you sort of my content diet. It might be all over the place. That's probably just how my brain works. It's a bit scrambled. There was that book Traction that I think Gino Wickman. So that's great for entrepreneurs starting out or even mid-sized company. It just sort of gives you a framework, right?
Okay.
But that's just the book. What I typically do on a regular basis, I try to get information from many, many sources. So we're a member of the American Staffing Association. So they have a lot of great information there from all different sources, right? So that's sort of that central hub where if I want any staffing related information, I'm going to go there, or staffing industry analysts. They're a great organization that does studies and stats. They'll
it's like our Gartner, right? It's like our Gartner.
Exactly. But then I know it's going to sound crazy. LinkedIn, you know, I there can't be a day that I'm not on LinkedIn. So okay. LinkedIn articles, they're really on point. Some of them, like some of them aren't, but some of them are really good. And usually, I don't just read the articles. I see some of the comments to see, you know, what type of, how people are responding to them. Glassdoor as well. Glassdoor is really starting to be a good source of information. LinkedIn, Glassdoor. A couple others. I get a lot of articles sent to me through the Harvard Business Review and McKinsey, mm-hmm. Harvard Business and McKinsey. Mm-hmm. So, you know, once again, keeping in the know with other small and medium-sized businesses, I always like, you know, not just in recruiting. For that, it's a lot of businesses outside of our industry. And I'm a bit of a CNN junkie. I don't think I could go a day without watching at least a bit of CNN. And no, I'm not a left-wing nut or a right-wing nut. I'm Canadian. And so politics never comes into it. I just like hearing what's going on in the world, not just.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Lots of insights and great content, Dive, that I think, you know, we can all learn from. As we wrap up today's podcast, Sean, where is the best way that we can get in contact with you and Recruiting in Motion?
Sure. Email Sean, so SEAN at recruitinginmotion.com. Okay. And Recruiting Motion is just recruitinginmotion, all one word, .com.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, I want to thank you. I really enjoyed sitting down with you. Genuinely, I think you provide a lot of great insight and advice and just general opinion on what's happening within the state of this interesting world of work that we are a part of. Hopefully we have the opportunity to collaborate again because I thoroughly enjoyed this. So thank you for sitting with us and thank you for sitting with the Ivy podcast to be part of one of the episodes. And most importantly, thank you to our listeners for tuning in. As I wrap up every single podcast, you know, I think that honestly, in this crazy, fast-paced life that we're living in, the most valuable thing that we can give to one another is time. So thank you to our listeners for tuning in. And thank you, Sean, for spending some time with us as well.
Thank you, Angela.
We'll see you guys.
It was great chatting.
Absolutely. We'll see you guys on the next episode.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.